Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, on Fridays when our friend Becky Hillier joins us on this show, we were in Glendive Friday, so she took Friday off, but she'll be back with us to look at the bright side this Friday. You know, we look at the bright side of things, but it's kind of funny because now we joke that, man, and even when we do this back to business segment, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal joins us every Monday here in the 7 o'clock hour to talk about business news. And we always try to start out with the good news, because let's be honest, during the last 4 years of the Biden administration, you really had to look deep to find some good news, didn't you? Now it's like good news, good news, good news, good news. Look at all the good news on this President's Day. Thanks to President, say it with me now, Donald J. Trump. Anyway, Evelyn Pyburn, great to have you on the show on this very snowy Monday morning. We got so much snow overnight that even at like dark 30 this morning, I thought, you know what? I want to wait and use my snowblower, but I got to shovel just a little bit because I don't want to pack down all this snow in the driveway. So I got a little exercise in this morning, but that's all right. It felt good. For the good news this morning, I got to say, I think this story in the hot sheet this morning about Paul Green stepping down as the director of the Montana Department of Commerce, and now he's going to head up the Big Sky Economic Development Association. I'll tell you what, for the Big Sky EDA, I think that's very good news. I think he's going to be a very good force there.
Okay, well, you know, I have never met the gentleman, and he certainly seems to have the credentials to be a force to be reckoned with in promoting Billings. So that is certainly good news that they found somebody. And that is some good news.
Yeah, Steve Arviscow stepped down. He's retiring as the Big Sky EDA executive director. And so, yeah, Paul Green, he's got a ranch out near Hardin. He's a Navy veteran. He was a submariner, a submariner, a bubblehead, whatever you want to call him. And I got a chance to, you know, see him down at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas for the last couple of years when he was down there in his capacity as head of the Montana Department of Commerce. And, he's very enthusiastic, and so I know he's going to be happy to be closer to home now.
Well, and I think it's a good thing he's a farmer, you know. That's often lacking in economic development people, and Montana should have a farmer as an economic developer.
That's a really good point. Yeah, so often, how often, you know, in Billings, I mean, look at how much money is going to come in here in just the next couple of weeks when they have a big horse sale. They're going to have their big horse auction at one of the stockyards here, and it's like, And how often do people not even realize that that's happening? And how often does agriculture get downplayed, or natural resource industries get downplayed? But boy, you know, like any other downtown business news, and all of a sudden it's reported everywhere, left and right, all across the board. Very good point there by Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. But yeah, that news in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. What about healthcare? And the latest highlights from the Economic Outlook Seminar, we'll start there with Evelyn Pyburn right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. As some light snow continues in the area today, accumulations from around an inch up to 2 to 3 inches in some areas. High temperature of 19 in Bozeman to 2 above in Billings. For tonight, more areas of light snow with around an inch or two in spots, with low temperature readings from 5 below in Bozeman to about 10 below in the Billings area. More snow showers continue tomorrow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. You might not have caught the controversy in this brief exchange on the House floor unless you were listening really closely.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Delaware, Mr. McBride, for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
The chair doing the recognizing on the House floor was Illinois Republican Mary Miller, presiding over the House. The lawmaker recognized to speak was Democratic Delaware Representative Sarah McBride, the first openly transgender person elected to the House who identifies as a woman. This was McBride's first speech on the floor since winning election last fall. Miller is a backer of anti-transgender policies, many coming via executive order from the White House. McBride has also faced the ire of GOP South Carolina Representative Nancy Mace, who waged an anti-transgender crusade last year. McBride did not challenge the swipe by Miller. She went about her planned speech on the floor. Instead, McBride spoke out against President Trump and how his executive orders and planned cuts impacted research programs in Delaware. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, we've got an update on the efforts to ban Russian palladium and hopefully get the Stillwater mine back up and running here in Montana. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Recently, I got a chance to catch up with Heather McDowell, who is the Senior Vice President for Legal and External Affairs at the Stillwater Mine. Very cool guest. She grew up on a ranch in Bridger, did rodeo in college, and she had some great things to say about this very topic. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, that's interesting. So, I was telling you about some of the headlines in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. Well, I've got the print edition of the Big Sky Business Journal in front of me here, too. And, couple of things topping the Montana highlights section. Of course, there's a piece about Shield Arms, a Big Fork firearms manufacturer presenting their new pistol system. We talked with them about that new modular pistol down at the SHOT Show in Vegas. You can see a photo of that on our Montana Talks website. I think if you just search Montana Talks SHOT Show, it'll come right up. And then Evelyn has this tidbit here. Bozeman is getting their first Spanish language magazine. So there you go. I wonder if free copy. Okay. I could say all sorts of snarky things about that, couldn't I, Evelyn?
Yes. Well, you know, even illegal immigrants make a market for something. And that's one of the things economists talk about, is that immigrants, no matter who and how they get here, they are a market. So they do impact the economy.
Yeah, and obviously there's a lot of Hispanic people that are in Bozeman and the Gallatin Valley legally, right? But as we can tell by the jail roster, there's also a lot that are there illegally, and just a lot of illegal illicit activities as well. The other thing that stood out to me, you've got a couple of very interesting reports on your front page. 2025 in Montana, less growth, fewer people, and more AI. That's kind of a good summary of what we talked about last week. And then I love this. It's like a top 10 list, events that impacted 2024. And it's got like a whole top 10 list there of some interesting business news and much more. So it's a great print edition of the Big Sky Business Journal. Let's see, where were we going to start? What were we talking about starting with here? Healthcare. Healthcare in the hot sheet this morning. You've got a headline, Healthcare Struggles. Tell us some of the highlights.
Well, Dr. Barkey, when he was talking at the Economic Outlook Seminar, he said that to the uneducated eye, it looks like healthcare is back to normal, but it is not all normal. And I should, add that he did say it is coming back. The healthcare industry has its struggles, but they are improving. But 36 Montana counties have hospitals, and most of those hospitals are struggling. Healthcare was hit especially hard during COVID, of course, and the demand for discretionary care fell during COVID, causing the price index for medical care to fall for the first time in living memory, he said. There were retirements among healthcare practitioners that caused acute staffing pressures, and there were rising costs, and news stories started appearing about Montana hospitals facing financial losses, imposing salary cuts, and trimming staff. And Barkey explained that healthcare and hospitals are reimbursement businesses in that you have a third-party payer reimbursing hospitals for care. And reimbursements have not been going up very fast, and costs are going up very, very fast, he said. Medicaid is a benefit to healthcare because they get more reimbursement. So, you know, I would imagine that that is playing some role in Helena right now, figuring out what Medicaid business does for healthcare is surprisingly difficult, said Barkey, but it does bring the rural and poorer populations more into the economy. Most research on adults who had Medicaid coverage when they were children do not show they had better outcomes. It was hard to distinguish the difference between those who were covered and those who were not. And part of the reason for that, he said, was because we individually control so much about what, you know, we are in control of our health and what we eat and how we take care of ourselves. So that overwhelms other factors in our health care. And about Medicare, Barkey said, everyone has agreed, apparently, to ignore the financial unsustainability of Medicare. Mm. So
powerful line there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Medicaid expansion debate in Helena. It's like, okay, you get all the hospitals want their meal wagon. They want their check. Even though the federal government continues to shortchange them and never pay the reimbursement rates they should actually pay. But then, as Dr. Barkey's pointing out here, we've got financial solvency questions with some of these federal government programs. We're $36 trillion in debt. And so, but yet here we keep going down this road. And that's why I think when it comes to the Medicaid expansion debate in particular in Helena, they need to add means testing. They need to add a work requirement, a court-proofed work requirement. I mean, I get it. They're being pressured by, you know, their hospitals. But look, they're going to get their cut. They're going to get their check. It sounds like anyway. So why can't we get a court-proofed work requirement? Why can't we get a means test that involves assets? And, you know, if you could have people that have millions and millions of dollars worth of assets, but technically don't show any income because they may not be working, but they get the free stuff that we got to pay for.
Yeah. And, you know, and the thing that bothers me is they're pushing to grow Medicaid while all of the economists are saying, hey, wait a minute, that's no different than Medicare. It's not sustainable. And so, yeah, you need to look at these programs and make them sustainable. I mean, I think they started out with a sustainable plan with Medicare, but they left it in the dust. And so now then, I don't know what it is. It's not very many years until they say, there's no more money to support Medicare. So
and here we are, $36 trillion in debt, and it's driving up the cost for all the rest of us to have health care. All right, hold that thought. Back right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What was Bidenomics exactly? It may be best understood as a muscular policy aimed first at pulling the economy out of a supposed pandemic abyss, quickly evolving into an effort to make government play a much bigger role in setting economic priorities, with much less concern over the impact of deficits. It was clearly a failure politically, with the incumbent president not even allowed by his party to run for re-election. And a new essay by Obama-era advisor Jason Furman details its economic failures as well. Just like the military generals who tried to fight the previous war, Bidenomics threw caution to the wind in avoiding what they judged to be the overly timid reaction of the Obama administration to the last recession as they assumed office. But the two situations were completely different, with the pandemic recovery already well underway with well-functioning credit markets. The spending surge sparked higher inflation, and in many cases that unhappy outcome torpedoed even its most direct aims. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
You've already filed your income taxes. Now, when can you expect a refund? I'm Taylor Riggs, co-host of The Big Money Show, with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor, editor-at-large of The Spectator, and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. I'm inviting you to join in-depth conversations every week on the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com.
It typically takes just a few weeks to receive any money owed back to you by the government, according to CPA Bill Dundee.
Provided you electronically filed your taxes and you provided the IRS with bank information so they can automatically put money into your account, refunds can happen as quickly as 2 weeks. However, oftentimes people don't get their refunds as quickly because numbers don't match up.
But checking on your refund status is easy. Just log into the IRS website and click Where's My Refund? Watch the Big Money Show weekdays at 12 p.m. Eastern on Fox Business. Taylor Riggs, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordland.
On Friday, thousands of USDA employees were let go in what the agency called a workforce optimization effort. Those let go are calling it a St. Valentine's Day massacre. But Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins defended the decision, saying the move is part of a broader effort to make USDA more efficient and responsive to farmers and ranchers. She also announced in her first address to USDA employees on Friday that they will review over 1,000 federal contracts and a return to in-office work for all employees will be implemented.
First and foremost, we are proud to invite the Department of Government Efficiency here into USDA. They're already here. They've been here for a few weeks, but we are welcoming the efforts because we know that that work will make us better here at USDA. It will make us stronger. It will make us faster, and it will make us more efficient. We will expect full access from all of our teams here at USDA to this effort.
The cuts primarily affect probationary employees in their first or second year of federal service. Agencies seeing the biggest reduction include the Natural Resources Conservation Service, along with the U.S. Forest Service. However, wildland firefighters were spared from the layoffs. This is a developing story that I'll continue to track. I'm Lane Nordland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, let's jump right back into it here with Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal, joining us every Monday here in the first half of the 7 o'clock hour of this show. Evelyn, any other highlights from that healthcare conversation, or should we move on and talk about tariffs and the latest conversation on that front?
Well, we can certainly talk about tariffs. The one thing I thought was interesting is, Barkey pointed out that in almost every town, every city that has a hospital, the hospital or, you know, the medical care industry is the top employer. So in you know, 36 counties of Montana, the healthcare industry is super important. So I thought that was very interesting.
And wields a lot of influence as a result. And so, yeah, so if the leadership of those respective hospitals refuse to ever reform things or push a bad policy, we just keep going down that road because of the capital they have, right?
Right. So anyway, I'm sure that's why he talked about it so much. So on tariffs, I'm really hoping that President Trump's tariffs plans turn out well, because in the long run, tariffs are not good for anybody. And the really alarming thing is that Montana is among the most probable states to be negatively impacted by tariffs. An analysis by LendingTree places Montana as the top state to be negatively impacted because we depend so much on imports. Montana has the highest percentage of imports coming from Canada, Mexico, and China, at least 94.3%. of our imports come from, probably most of them come from Canada, but we are hugely impacted, and Canada is Montana's top export country. So New Mexico ranks second, followed by Vermont, Michigan, and Maine, and then by North Dakota at 63.5% and Wyoming at 54.4%. So Montana is very dependent on Canada because right here in Yellowstone County, we specialize in processing Canadian crude oil. And you can well imagine what kind of impact that could be. And we depend on lumber imports since we've devastated our own timber industry. And farmers are dependent on fertilizer. And there's also other ag products that Montana imports from Canada. And just as importantly, though, Montana exports a lot of products, most especially beef, to Canada. And so all of those things can be impacted by a trade war coming and going across the border. And apparently the impacts of just the proposed tariffs are already being felt as businesses in the state try to plan for the future. Most businesses have to plan for as much as at least a year out, at the very least, and some of them have to plan further out than that. So they have to be trying to consider how much is those imports going to impact their business future. So undoubtedly, they're not expanding as fast as they might if they didn't have to worry about the cost of anything that they're importing from, you know, Canada or Mexico. And so, you know, we just I just really hope that President Trump is well aware of all these things.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he is. And I think this is part of the art of the deal. He presses hard in order to get the deal. And I think this is all a part of it. Let's see, about a minute and a half or so before we get to the Fox News update, the price of eggs. So I dropped in, my wife and I dropped in at Costco yesterday after church. They had no eggs. Couldn't get any eggs. You could only get like a box of egg whites or something like that. No eggs. What have you been reading about the price of eggs?
Well, I guess the average price is up around $7 to $8. And I was going to say, well, you can find them less expensive here. And maybe you can, but a quick look at some of the ads says, no, they're $7 a dozen. And oftentimes, even at that, they only let you buy a couple dozen or something, so they're pretty much limited. But the problem, I mean, the scary thing is it doesn't seem like there's going to be any quick turnaround on that, because the Asian or the avian flu that is killing off the chicken flocks has mutated, and it's still going rampant, and it's even killing the younger birds that they were raising to replace those that have already succumbed to the flu. And so it's just a problem that is kind of running wild yet as they try to get it under control. So
so that's why the price of eggs is up. Yeah, the avian right. bird flu, and then under the Biden administration, they killed tens of thousands of the chickens to try to stop the bird flu, but then they bring in the younger replacement birds, and they get the bird flu still. Makes you kind of wonder what China was up to with that. It started in China, just like something else we all remember. All right. Message on our Montana Talks app from Cameron in Billings, as we were talking health care and more with Evelyn Pyburn. Cameron says this: if budgets are an issue for these hospitals, why don't they stop paying their owners millions of dollars a day? I know that's been one of the questions in the past, is why do they ship so much of this money out of state if they need this money so bad? Why are they shipping so much of it out of state? That's been a frequent criticism, that's for sure. Man, looking at the weather out there, looking at the temperatures, the snow is falling outside our Montana Talk studios. I don't even know how much snow my house got overnight, but I knew I better break out the shovel at 0:30 this morning. As much as I would rather wait until the sun is up and I can use my snow blower, I was like, I got to get push some of the snow out of the way because there was so much of it. I just went to the Montana weather hashtag on X. This is the observed wind chills as of 6 o'clock this morning. This is from Livingston all the way to the North and South Dakota borders. This is the observed wind chills. Let's see who's got it right now. Glendive, 41 below zero. 41 below zero is the wind chill in Glendive this morning. It was a little warmer than that on Friday, wasn't it, Caden? Hysham, 20 below zero. Miles City and Ekalaka, 33 below zero. Baker, 37 below zero. Alzada, right down there in that southeastern corner, right on the Montana-Wyoming line, 32 below zero. 35 below zero for Richard and Jordan. Let's see. four above out there in Neihardt, four above, 12 below in Livingston, eight above in Gardner. Old Faithful. See, here we go again. Sometimes you'll get Yellowstone National Park will be much warmer than the rest of the state. It's 16 degrees above at Old Faithful, but 18 below zero in Cody, Wyoming. So that's from the National Weather Service as of about 6 o'clock this morning. Let me keep scrolling here to see if I can see some of the other temperatures in the rest of the state from the other National Weather Service offices. Oh, snow in Billings, 6.2 inches of snow so far at the West End office for this snow event, 2.2 inches measured since midnight alone. So that's for the West End of Billings. Let me see if we got some Northeast Montana and Western Montana stuff. Let's see, the National Weather Service office in Glasgow, they're like, you know what, we're not even going to talk about the wind chill. The wind chill's too cold. We're going to tell you how much warmer it's going to be later this week. A warm front will move east across the area by the weekend, allowing temperatures to approach 50 in some places. These warm temperatures look to stick around going into early March, so mud season may be upon us soon. Let's see, what is today? Monday. So, yeah, they were forecasting the maximum temperature in Glasgow, 13 below zero. Plenty what the maximum temperature forecast for today is, 16 below zero. Then it's going to be like 50. Kids are going to be in shorts and T-shirts.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. We got some messages that have come in on our Montana Talks app. By the way, phone lines are open for you as well right now. If you got something you want to talk about, we've got the legislative update with our friend Henry Kriegel from Americans for Prosperity Montana. That'll be coming up later on in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. In the 9 o'clock hour of the show, great guest who's going to be joining us. He's one of the smartest agriculture folks you can talk to. Not just agriculture, though, like when you want to talk about the national debt, really smart guy. I've gotten a chance to get to chat with him several times over the years. He's out of Malta, Montana, Phillips County, Montana. He's the former MSU extension agent for Phillips County, which tells you why he knows so much, because A, you got to know something to be the extension agent anyway, but then B, you learn a lot when you're the extension agent because of all the folks that you meet with and all the data that you've got and the research that you've got at your fingertips. And so Marco Manukian now, I'll have to get what his exact title is now, but he's going to be joining us. One of the things that was in the Big Sky Business Journal, the events that impacted 2024, their top 10 list here, number 7 was the failure of the St. Mary siphon over the St. Mary River near Babb, Montana, in the summer of 2024 that presented significant challenges to high-line irrigators and recreators, affecting groundwater levels and Milk River flows. That's what we're going to be talking with Marco Manukian about coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. How does a potential federal funding freeze impact that project? What can we do to make sure that that project continues to move forward? And just how absurd it is that we're even in this position in the first place. I mean, it doesn't that make all this wasteful spending that you hear about from the U.S. Agency for International Development even more outrageous? I mean, look at the waste at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, for example. I'll get to that one in a second. Okay, I'll get to that one in just a second. But you think about all this money that's been wasted on this woke BS, and yet we had the lifeline to the High Line, this irrigation project, suffer a massive failure, which just shows that that this problem has been kicked down the road and kicked down the road and kicked down the road and kicked down the road time and time again by the very same federal government that was funding sex changes in Guatemala and all sorts of other crazy stuff. Wait till you hear this one out of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. I was talking about the temperatures. I was talking about the weather. Tim and Savage says this, 16 above at Old Faithful. Global warming is affecting the park. That's right. It's 16 above at Old Faithful. Global warming is affecting the park. Now, everywhere else, good night. You wouldn't even call that global cooling. You would call that apocalyptic freezing going on elsewhere across Montana right now. But they must have some sort of inversion like usual there at Yellowstone because 16 above at Old Faithful. Cat in Sydney says, it is negative 31 for me, and there is no way I am leaving the house. Thank God for Montana Talks, so now I can be entertained for 4 hours. That's awesome. Well, we're glad to have you with us, Kat. And, yeah, feel free to call in at any point as well if you want to jump in on the conversation here. Okay, one other message here. I meant to share this one earlier. Actually, a couple of messages here that have come in on the Montana Talks app. Heather in Billings sent us this message. Looks like a not my president gathering is occurring. She received a text message about how on President's Day weekend, they are going to hold, these left-wing groups are going to hold a day of action in Billings, standing up for democracy. So apparently at noon today, they're supposed to hold some not my president protest at 316 North 26th Street in Billings later today. I wonder if they will still do that. So they're going to have a not my president democracy rally. Wait, if you believe in democracy, he is your president. In fact, somebody should go out there. If they end up showing up today at noon, somebody should go out there and say, yes, he is your president. That'd be a good sign to put to counteract that one. Evan and Belt, he sent us this message earlier this morning before we kicked off the show. Did you guys see this headline? The Montana Senate on Saturday morning voted down a bill from a Lindsay, Montana Republican that sought to require the Ten Commandments be posted in every public school classroom in the state. So you had state senators who voted against the Ten Commandments, which is, you know, an important legal document. It's an important, I mean, the basis of our laws not only came from things like, you know, the Magna Carta and common law, but also, you know, important documents like the Ten Commandments shaped the very legal systems that we have today. But Democrats and apparently some Republicans voted against the Ten Commandments. Evan and Belt says this. Why in the world would 8 of our state Republican senators vote against having the Ten Commandments in our classrooms? They voted with all the Democrats who don't seem to mind having sexually explicit content in our school libraries. What a bunch of hypocrites. And then they wonder why some kids these days are struggling psychologically. Now, Evan, I didn't see the list of who the 8 are that voted against this. So I'm not sure if it's the same ones that have been voting with the Democrats on the rules or not. But if somebody has that list, hey, please send it my way. I've got the article. The article that I was just quoting is from the Helena IR. But it doesn't list the names of who voted and how, et cetera. So we'd have to go back and look at the legislative website. Owen in Billings on the phone lines. Owen, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
Hey, good.
Hey, I was just informed of something with Intermountain Health, Billings Clinic, and St. V's. They're not letting parents in with the medical records after they turn 13. What happened to it being 18?
Isn't that outrageous? Yeah, I had some other people who said...
Is that true?
that's what, from everything I've gathered, yes. They're changing, because who did we have on the show last week? Was it during our legislative update? Because I guess somebody's already got a bill to try to fix this. Was it Speaker Lear? Man, we had so much that we covered last week. But yeah, I need to reach out to both of the hospital systems now to find out what the deal is here. Yeah, they're basically... Oh, you know who it was? John Jackson, the Joker from X, was with us. And he said that you know, his daughter's a really good athlete. And so, you know, you got to go to the, get your physicals and all sorts of stuff. And he said, yeah, they tried to tell him, well, because your daughter's older than 13, you do not get access to her medical records on the online charts. And he's like, are you freaking kidding me? So we, the parents, can... you know, be responsible for our kids and their overall health and their overall well-being. We can pay for the doctor's appointment. We can drive them to the doctor's appointment, but we can't find out what the doctor says. What kind of craziness is that?
I think they're trying to make it to where our kids can start doing things outside of our control. I thought we were the parents until they were 18.
It sure is what that seems like. I mean, that's what the Montana Healthcare Association, was trying to do when they were advocating for some of the crazy transgender treatment stuff, right, if you want to call it treatment. They want to be able to hide some of the public schools, especially in Missoula. They've already been busted trying to, you know, transition the gender of students without letting the parents know. No, and look, there are constitutional protections in the United States Constitution for parents' rights, and this would fly in the face of that.
Maybe you can help me with some of this information, but I guess the decisions are being made down in Colorado. Is that correct? And maybe I should probably get off of here now and I'll listen to it.
Hey, you know, good question. Yeah, because the Intermountain Health System, yeah, I think they're headquartered in Colorado, right? I'll reach out to the spokesperson for, you know, both major hospital system, Billings Clinic, which has clinics across Montana and Wyoming, Intermountain, which same deal, hospitals and clinics across the region, to see what the deal is on that front. So I appreciate you calling in with some of those questions. Owen. But that's one of the concerns is that, okay, when you have a business that is owned and headquartered out of state, that people that don't share our local values will be the ones that end up making some of these decisions. And so it's a constant frustration, that's for sure. Okay, the U.S. Department of Agriculture story. I know I got 30 seconds here because we got so many great messages and phone calls that came in. Breitbart News, USDA axes millions in contracts, including $230,000 for Brazilian forest and gender consultant. If a gender consultant falls in the forest, does anybody hear it? Why are we paying for a gender consultant in the Brazilian forest?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fox News commentary.
The Boy Scouts of America have officially changed their name to be more inclusive. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Kudlow and Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Download the Kudlow Show podcast every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com. Kudlow covers the latest headlines and business trends with an emphasis on the financial impact facing households and businesses across the country. Listen to interviews with key business newsmakers. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
The Boy Scouts of America have been riddled with scandal and controversy over the last decade. Sexual abuse allegations and the tens of thousands put a dark cloud over an organization that was designed to be a boys' outdoor activity program. The organization also started allowing girls into the Boy Scouts in 2018, which never made sense given the Girl Scouts are also a thing. But in an effort to distract from all that and be more inclusive, the group has gone through with a name change. Instead of Boy Scouts of America, the organization will now be just Scouting America. The group has a 115-year-old legacy that's been completely distorted and ruined, all to appease the woke brigade. Another American tradition bites the dust at the altar of woke. What a darn shame. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. As some light snow continues in the area today, accumulations from around an inch up to 2 to 3 inches in some areas. High temperature of 19 in Bozeman to 2 above in Billings. For tonight, more areas of light snow with around an inch or two in spots, with low temperature readings from 5 below in Bozeman to about 10 below in the Billings area. More snow showers continue tomorrow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Put your phone on D&D. That means that you're not disturbed when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safely, so always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D. That means that you're not disturbed when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safely, so always remember this beat.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
South 20th Street West, Rimrock Cabinet.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
My goodness. I wish you could see what I got in front of me right now. Well, actually, you can see what I've got in front of me right now. Here we go. This is from SCI, the Montana chapter of Safari Club International. Texas helicopter pig hunting. How many of you would love to go pig hunting in Texas and go hunting out of a helicopter? Or what about a guided trophy elk hunt in Montana? That's another opportunity here. Just some of the opportunities, by the way. You can do a crocodile hunt with Stefan Gilbert Safaris. I'll tell you what, SCI, the Montana Chapter Banquet, it's coming up March 8th. I've been the MC for several years now. It is a fun event. Guns, gear, you name it. We've got Tex Janicek with Montana Safari Club on the phone lines right now. Tex, what do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
Hey, great. Hey, just regarding our banquet, first of all, we kind of look at it as being a premier banquet. And for those of us that attend other banquets and been banqueted out, so to speak, we try to get it done, as you know, by 9:30. So live auction's done. People can get up and go home and not be sitting there till 11 o'clock at night. That's kind of our trademark. But the one thing I would say is get your tickets now, because we have to pre-order all our food a week out, because we have a pretty nice dinner, and we don't sell tickets at the door, and they can get tickets just by going to our website at MontanaSafariClub.com, or you could even stop down at Billings Kubota. Bruce has some tickets down there as well. But I urge everybody to get there, because it's going to be a fun time.
It is a fun time. I mean, all the guns, the gear, the hunting and fishing trip opportunities, either here in Montana or overseas in Africa. I mean, you name it. And the food's always really good, too. So, like you say, if people get banqueted out and they go to fundraiser after fundraiser after fundraiser, this one is a really good time. What are some of the guns and the gear that you're most excited about?
Well, I think that Christensen Arms gun, that's a $10,000 gun. That's one of the premier guns in the banquet. And we have so many, because it's a smaller banquet, we limit our numbers to about 200. And so the chances, odds of winning guns and the raffles are much greater, as well. Also, the Flying D, which is Ted Turner's ranch, we have an elk hunt this year that we're going to be drawing the ticket for, and people can get in the raffle by going online to our website, MontanaSafariClub.com. Purchase a ticket and get it back, because that is your best, one of your best opportunities to take a huge bull in Montana, and that's over a $17,000 hunt.
Wow. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, there are so many raffles. I feel like I'm on the stage, you know, two-thirds of the night just giving away guns because there are so many different opportunities to win games through the various casino girl, tickets and so much more. All right, can people still buy tables as well, or are you at individual tickets right now?
Absolutely. Tables are probably the best option. You can buy individual tickets or tables or sponsorships at MontanaSafariClub.com. Also, you don't have to be a member of Safari Club and Montana Safari Club, which is the local chapter. But people just keep in mind, we keep most of the money here. So we're supporting fish, wildlife, and parks, flock management. We did the cattle guards up north of Hardin to preserve hunting access for local hunters. I mean,
helps with youth hunting opportunities and so much more. Great work all around. All right, text Janicek. We'll see you soon. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What was Bidenomics exactly? It may be best understood as a muscular policy aimed first at pulling the economy out of a supposed pandemic abyss, quickly evolving into an effort to make government play a much bigger role in setting economic priorities, with much less concern over the impact of deficits. It was clearly a failure politically, with the incumbent president not even allowed by his party to run for re-election. And a new essay by Obama-era advisor Jason Furman details its economic failures as well. Just like the military generals who tried to fight the previous war, Bidenomics threw caution to the wind in avoiding what they judged to be the overly timid reaction of the Obama administration to the last recession as they assumed office. But the two situations were completely different, with the pandemic recovery already well underway with well-functioning credit markets. The spending surge sparked higher inflation, and in many cases that unhappy outcome torpedoed even its most direct aim. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.